You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. It is 6 minutes after six right now. Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. We're looking forward to hearing from you this morning. You can always get in touch with us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Jamie, how are the allergies treating you today?
Oh, we have so much cold medicine and allergy medicine. It's fine. I didn't even notice the pigeons who were eyeing me as I walked into the building. Usually if I see three birds perched on it is an attack. And I usually try to avoid that. I could not because it was the only door into the studio today. So I had to pass them. I was waiting for anything. I was ready.
I think it's a right-wing conspiracy to keep you off the air. They're sending the birds. Frank is here, our executive producer. Parker's here, our technical producer. Frank, still battling what can only be described as a monumental sinus infection that is causing him to wear headbands of various sizes and colors. And I hear you have beef this morning, Frank.
It's not so much, I guess I do kind of have a little bit of beef. Here's my
beef.
Thing.
It's beef.
This is it about big sinus?
No, it's about big concert tickets.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I know we've got
a problem with that today, too.
I think everybody does. And for the most part, sometimes I understand the pricing and whatnot. Sometimes I don't. So usually this is something we would talk about on Swipe or Say, which we do in the 7 o'clock hour, if you never stick around that long.
Well, you should be here.
You should be. You should be sticking around that long.
You should be here. We get off at 9. That's what
we're entertaining. So stick around.
So the news broke that Summerfest will have one less concert at the Family Insurance Amphitheater.
Yes.
And it was the Pussycat Dolls.
Right.
Because they canceled their entire tour.
Yeah.
Now, I was sitting on the couch yesterday with my lovely wife. And I look up from my laptop after I'm reading this, and I said, can I ask you a question? She goes, yeah. I said, who is in charge of forecasting ticket sales for a tour? Because who in their right mind thought in today's economy right now that anybody's going to go, you know what I want to spend a ton of money on?
The Pussycat
Dolls. Pussycat Dolls tour.
Yeah.
With only three of them.
Whose bright idea was that? I mean, you could have seen this coming a mile away. I mean, Post Malone just had to cancel a bunch of shows to work on new music. Justin Bieber had to cancel a tour a couple years ago for health issues, although the ticket sales weren't too strong. Shawn Mendes did the same thing a couple years ago.
There's been a couple more this year.
There's been a couple more.
Yeah.
This is becoming a common thing. Now, the other thing is, I think one thing, some artists are trying to play stadiums that they shouldn't be playing.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. You need to, your career is not arena career anymore. Sometimes your career is, you know, a parking lot outside a Walmart opening.
I was going to say a casino.
The Black Keys.
Yeah, casino is a good spot.
Amphitheaters.
A small theater.
Yeah.
Summertime, summertime small amphitheater on a tour with a number of bands where, you know, I don't really want to see them, but I want to see them.
A perfect example of that is New Kids on the Block. Blockhead. Grew up in the 90s, right? Original boy band.
You're a blockhead?
Oh, of course.
Is that what you called yourself? Amazing. Parker, make sure you get a cut of that, she called herself a blockhead.
Okay.
And we will be using it out of context.
Please do. You should. But, I mean, they did a tour 2 years ago, right? And it's exactly what we're talking about. They weren't trying to book these major stadiums. They were doing the casinos with bigger ballrooms. They were doing the outdoor amphitheaters. And let me tell you, it was packed. I mean, everything sold out for of those shows because they actually marketed it to places that made sense for a boy band from the 90s. I mean, like, if 98 Degrees went on tour now, they're not filling up an arena, right? They're just not.
No.
And I'm not
But if you did a boy band tour,
yes,
with a couple of boy bands,
yep,
then they'd be good for an amphitheater, a summertime tour, yes, where people will sit outside and, you know.
I mean, because New Kids on the Block also did that with Salt and Peppa, and there was one other, and I didn't see that show, but they mixed in one other 90s act. And it was the same thing like that we're talking about. They didn't oversell who they were for this moment in time. And let's be realistic, when it comes to the Pussycat Dolls, were they ever that monumental band?
That's what I mean.
I was going to say, I thought they were a novelty act from years ago.
Not the Spice Girls.
No. The Spice Girls won't even tour again.
Isn't that the one Carmen Electra was in or something, the Pussycat Dolls? I remember them vaguely from the early aughts.
Nicole Scherzinger was their lead singer, and she went and did Masked Singer as one of the judges. She's not even on that anymore, and that's about the extent of the Pussycat Dolls. That they had a movie for, was it Dr. Doolittle? Was that the movie that they did had a song in? I can't even tell you. But
they were in lingerie, right?
Yes.
Kind of?
Yes.
Yes.
All right,
well, that's
always
their selling point.
Yeah. They didn't have even a gimmick like the Spice Girls did, right? Because at least with the Spice Girls, you had Sporty Spice and
you could pick
Baby
your favorite spice,
right?
Ginger, for the record.
I agree.
Yeah. You
Ginger,
did.
Ginger
I fully was, agree, Brian.
Thank you, Frank. Great minds, buddy. Great minds.
You didn't even have like a great gimmick though with the Pussycat Dolls. At least Scherzinger could sing when she was their lead singer. So I give them that credit.
Was that the group that would have celebrities, though, come in and out?
Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, good. None of us know, which explains why they're not.
That's the whole point.
Right.
Yes. I don't get the reasoning
well,
behind
Summerfest,
this.
I don't remember this happening before, and it probably has, but I don't remember it, where they seem to have lost a lot of acts this summer.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the bigger, like, the either the big arena ones or some of the at the BMO pavilion ones, they seem to be like a lot of dropouts.
Is that a question, though, of where we're at with ticket sales? Is that a question of where we're at with economy, which would loop back into ticket sales? Is that
I think it goes more to Frank's point, because Summerfest is always going to have strong ticket sales.
Sure.
Because people will just go in. Like, I never go to Summerfest for a specific band.
Right.
I'll take that back. I may look on a couple days that I'm weighing out whether I'm going to go to Summerfest. And then I look and I say, oh, I know that guy, that band and that band and that. This is a better day for me because at least I know these bands.
Right.
But then I end up wandering around like most people who go to Summerfest. And if something catches my ear, I sit down at that stage for a little bit and then I get up. And I wander off, and I eat some deep-fried food, wash it down with a cold beer, and I end up at another stage.
Which is exactly how you should do Summerfest.
Right. And so I think it goes to Frank's point where there was a change in booking a few years ago at Summerfest, and the longtime booker retired. I don't know if it's just – maybe there's just slimmer pickings on people who are on tour, and it's not the people who are going to jam-pack a place.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're in the big amphitheater, I forget what they call the main one, but if you're
American
in there,
American
Family Insurance Amphitheater, if you're not selling that thing out quick, like Garth Brooks didn't cancel.
Right.
His tickets, boom, they were gone. When they've had really strong acts in there, those acts don't cancel.
But
it's these borderline acts.
Well, and that's just it, because Garth Brooks is one of those acts that kind of transcends, right? Because sure. I'm not a country fan. I'll listen to Garth Brooks. I would love to see Garth Brooks in concert because he's such an amazing performer, right?
But it's so scripted.
It is very
scripted.
No.
No, I know all bands are scripted, but some of them are much better at making it at least seem Like they're in the moment and not following the
script.
When
you're a guy who doesn't really, you know, get out on stage much anymore, I kind of understand that. I get that as
But he does put on a show.
It's high energy. It's super fun. And yeah, so I understand why Garth Brooks, and we don't see Garth Brooks very often.
Right.
Like we just don't see him very often. And if he's going to go out and do a show, it is usually an event. It's like a spectacle. Mm-hmm. It is two or three nights, and it is maybe only once or twice a year, if that. Because when before Summerfest, when is the last time that he's actually performed live? I don't even know.
He doesn't tour that often.
No.
And maybe it's and this is old man sounding, it's the audience for some of the bands that are being booked. Those aren't the audiences that have the money to buy expensive concert. Who has money to buy expensive concert tickets anymore?
Not a lot of people.
No. Not a lot of people. And I went this morning because they're doing a promotion at Ticketmaster, and I went to try to score a couple of their $30 summer promotion tickets for a show, and those were gone. And see, I'm worried that the lawn may be sold out for one show I want to see. But going back to your beef, Frank, I think it's you got to target who you're. If you're trying to sell a big money tour now, somebody's got to be hot. Who currently? And you guys would know current music better than I. Who's selling out arenas now? Who still has
Sabrina?
The pull?
I was gonna say Sabrina.
Olivia.
Yep.
Yeah,
Taylor.
Well, Taylor, of course, Taylor's Beyonce could sell out.
Yeah,
stadium.
Even though she even had some weaker sales with her this last tour she was on, didn't she? I mean, she did very well. Mm. Don't get me wrong, but there were some.
I think it
venues.
Probably depends on the area. I can say in our area, she had no issues.
Yeah, she had no issues selling out.
Yeah,
but Brian, I think it comes down to this is where my beef comes in. Is I think it's pretty easy. Like Parker, if I rattle off some people.
Yeah.
Do you hear? Can Garth Brooks play? Can headline Summerfest? Do you think ticket sales would do well?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Don't if I got Taylor Swift, do you think she would do well?
Oh, 100%. She'd do better.
Do you think Bowling for Soup would do well?
Excuse you?
Bowling for Soup.
Okay, I just want to make sure I heard you right.
It's a
no,
real
I don't
the hit
think.
Song 1985.
And that was pretty much it. 1985.
They'd be great on a side stage.
They'd be super fun.
At Summerfest.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking $120 a pop to sit in the lawn
for Bowling for Soup?
Bowling
yeah.
For, are you kidding?
What do you think they would do? Parker, yes or no?
No.
One, I would
Bingo.
Buy one ticket.
Most of these
guys
are,
would keep rotating
That's
through.
What I'm saying. Most of these are so common sense. I feel like whenever I see a tour that's canceled, I go, well, yeah, buddy, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
The price point isn't there, and the arena's not great. The Black Keys had to do it, I think, last year, and they actually told the truth and put out the statement and go,
yeah,
I guess we can't play these shows, these bigger places anymore, so we're getting smaller places.
And
good, you haven't had a hit in 10 years, and you don't have a big catalog.
And I've seen Black Keys perform. They're fun. They do a really great show. But no, I would not see them in a big venue. Not now. I probably wouldn't have seen them in a big venue. Even when they were at the top of their game, I would have seen them in a big venue because they just don't have that type of catalog or library.
That's why Here Come the Zombies are on the Black & Decker stage.
Love Here Come the Zombies.
I love Here Come the Zombies.
So much fun. So much fun.
All right. Well, listen, we'll talk about bands another time. We have to talk about Tom Tiffany trying to roll back birthright citizenship in Wisconsin. Oh, how quickly the mood changes here on Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It is 6:19 right now. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:22 right now. We hope that your morning's going well so far. Thank you so much for waking up with the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. We are happy to have you here. As Jamie said, you want to get into a hold of us? Sure. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can watch the show as well as listen to it on YouTube, on our stream there, or on our new Facebook page. Oh, it's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie, where we stream the show as well. And you can go to Instagram and follow us. And there's so many places. We're so accessible. What about the podcast? Yeah, those are on Spotify. Yeah, that's where all the big boys play. So we're in that sandbox too. Go check that out. Tom Tiffany, Jamie, your favorite Republican frontrunner for governor of Wisconsin, is working hard along with the Trump administration to put an end to birthright citizenship. You know, so if your parents came from another country, and whether they're here legally or not, if you're born in this country, you are a citizen. That is in the Constitution of the United States of America, mostly a document that has been ignored by this administration and used as just a jumping off point for whatever he wants to do. But so you remember, in April, the Supreme Court heard arguments about birthright citizenship. Several of the justices, they were skeptical, to say the least, about whether a president can unilaterally narrow the 14th Amendment. They should be skeptical. That should just be a hard no, right?
No, you can't do hard that no, for 150 years. If you were born in the United States on U.S. soil, you've been a citizen for 150 years. No skepticism, just no.
You don't have to think about it. Should I set myself on fire? I'm skeptical that would be a good idea.
No, just don't.
If your kid is going to stick a fork in an outlet, you're not skeptical of the outcome. You just
no.
flat out, that's a bad decision. We're right. going to move on. Well, Josh Call in Wisconsin joined a multi-state lawsuit arguing that Trump's order would sow chaos in schools, hospitals, everywhere. We know that whole thing. So last year, Tom Tiffany, who voted in favor of the Big Beautiful Bill, which made ICE the highest funded federal agency by awarding them $75 billion on top of their usual $10 billion. He also, this is where it gets tricky, he also co-sponsored the Birthright Citizenship Act, Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to mirror Donald Trump, who, not coincidentally, now is endorsing Tom Tiffany for governor of Wisconsin. But yeah, this is a guy who, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure his supporters are like, yeah, that's why we want to vote for him, because he's doing away with this horrible program. But now, if something like that were to pass in Wisconsin, you have a population of nationless children. They
right.
weren't born somewhere else. They were born here, but you're saying they're not citizens. Well, where are they going to go to be citizens? How are you going to deal with them when it comes to schooling and medical care and everything else?
I can't even believe that this is a conversation, right?
All right, change the subject.
I can't even believe that this is a conversation and this is real life that we're talking about right now.
It horribly is.
Because look at what this would do, right? You mentioned it. Where would those children go? Where would those adults go? But enrollment in public schools, access to health care, basic identification and legal status, those would all be issues that these families, these children would be facing. You look at what would happen through families, workplaces, local economies. What happens if a baby is born in a hospital? What are you going to do with that baby in that moment in
right.
time? And those parents, I don't even understand the logic of this. And here's the thing that bothers me more than anything. Tom Tiffany wants to be governor of Wisconsin. I mean, is this what we are actually supporting as a state, that these are the things?
Not yet.
Well, that's just it. I mean, we just saw what happened in Ohio and Indiana mm-hmm. last night, right? If you paid attention to the races last night in the primaries, when it came to the primary Senate races, you know, Trump wasn't very happy with the Indiana Senate because they didn't give him the redistrict maps. And so he and the Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith vowed to basically get their revenge in the primaries, and they did.
Five of the seven that Trump backed in. Now,
running
in the
on
overall
policies
scheme
like
of
this, by the way,
right? And it's the overall scheme. It's Republican for Republican. But the good thing about the Republicans in Indiana prior to last night was they backed their people. They
yes.
went against Trump's wishes. They said, we are voting because this is the voice of our constituents.
Right.
They actually did their job. Well, there's enough people in Indiana, I guess, who didn't want that job done, and still, Trump is still the head of that party. There's no way around it.
But it tells you that as we look at what's happening across the country, and we look at what Tom Tiffany is proposing backing this bill, it's a mindset. And this is what the GOP supports. They actually support upending the Constitution to undo law. Again, 150 years, the 14th Amendment has allowed birthright Correct. Citizenship. They're also wanting to upend families, economies. I mean, I don't understand what the logic is. Well,
there is no logic, because think of, for people who might be supporting something like this, think about this. A baby is born here. They were born here in Wisconsin. Now they're 20 or they're 16 and they all of a sudden these rights are taken away. Where do they go? How do they get a driver's license? How do they get a job? They're not, it wasn't, they didn't come here, whether you want to argue legal or illegal immigration, however you want to do that. And everybody's in agreement that the immigration system has to be resolved or improved. But if you're a child and you've grown now into a young adult, what do you do? Where do you
right.
go? Who do you belong
confusion.
To? Your whole life has been in
it's
the
mass
United
confusion
States.
And chaos. You're
and you have
ripple
you
effects.
Have rights. You have rights. Well, we'll talk about the GOP. We love them. they're trying to maybe give some funding, but not really for the ballroom, only for security. We'll parse that out too. It's Daybreak, and this is the Civic Media Network.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
6:35 right now. We hope that you are having a great morning. If you're listening in Madison on WMDX or in Eau Claire on 93.5 The Tap or in Wisconsin Rapids this morning on WFHR, thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate it. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. You want to text in 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also call, because then you get the additional bonus of not only talking to Jamie and myself, but you get to talk to Parker.
Hello.
Yes.
That is a treat. That's how he answers the phone.
Hello.
Hello.
May I help
darling.
You?
Welcome to the radio show. What do you want to say to Brian and Jamie?
I think you should start that.
I've been doing that.
Okay,
I don't know
all right,
why.
All right.
Yeah, how do you think I came up with that? I didn't just make that up. We have some people texting, Jamie.
We do.
That were jumping in on our conversation about Tom Tiffany getting backing a plan that, and then proposing a bill that would end birthright citizenship.
And if you were listening to the show behind the show, one of the things we were talking about is how this is not just a Wisconsin problem. This is a nationwide problem. We're seeing these types of actions backed by the president and his administration all across the board. John from Oshkosh saying, listening on WISS, he says in text this morning, it's just another example of this administration breaking things and making chaos. No solutions, just destruction. Thank you for that text. Scott from Madison, listening on WMDX, says following the rules is exactly why the Democrats are always going to lose. Democrats need to be willing to pass things that seem unconstitutional and let the courts decide. We need to be willing to let each branch of government do their job and not self-regulate themselves.
The problem with that, Scott, is right now the branches of governments are not doing their jobs.
Right. Right.
There are no checks and balances. The executive branch has taken over basically all three branches, and you know, passing unconstitutional laws just because we figure the courts will back us, That's a dangerous game to play, especially at this day and age.
Yes. And then finally, Sally, also listening on WMDX in Madison this morning, she says the cruelty is the point. That's why. Jim also chiming in over on our Facebook chat this morning. He says the Republicans, I believe is who he's referring to, is now the tax and spend party, court cases, and the ballroom. And, I mean, yeah, when did the parties flip? Their principles. I missed that part of what's
happening. Started
to flip
with the Tea Party, and it is completely flipped with. And there was, you know, we can't go into the whole evolution from the Tea Party to MAGA, but MAGA has brought all of this to a boiling point. It started there, and there's always been fringes of both parties. We still have wild fringes in both parties today. Mm-hmm. But the fact that now one of the fringes of the Republican Party got the power, that's what scares. That's, you know, to be honest, that's what scares me about the Democrats. Yes. I'm a Democrat. It's like when the fringe gets the power, bad things can happen. Not that you elect somebody who's mamby-pamby from the center, who's not going to, doesn't have opinions and isn't going to get things done, but You gotta watch those fringes, because we're seeing the evidence of that right now. So it was just a horrible evolution from the Tea Party to MAGA to the elevation of MAGA and the complete takeover of the party, where now old school Republicans, the party doesn't want anything to do with them anymore.
Right. And what bothers me most about that is when you do have those old school principled Republicans, and let me be clear, I miss those people. I really do miss those people. I think they, especially running the government, I think they still exist. They just get overshadowed. And because they are afraid of what this president might say, who he might back, they begin to placate. And that's what we've seen over and over.
Look at what happened in Indiana.
Yep.
And having lived in Indiana before, and driving through Indiana, performing in Indiana, it is a very, very conservative place, except for Northwest Indiana and a couple of hubs around Indianapolis. But so I'm not praising the Republicans there, because they've done a lot of, you know, Mike Pence is from there. I'm not going to say any more about that. But at least in this instance, when it came to gerrymandering their maps, they listened to their constituents and said no. And they defied the president, and he did what he said he was going to do. He got the lieutenant governor. He primaried seven seats of these Republican state senators who had voted, actually done their job, but didn't do their job the way he wanted the job done. He primaried them, and five of the seven lost their seats. So it's... It's trying
times. It is trying times. And I think the point to all to this entire conversation is we're seeing it over and over and over across multiple states. I mean, one of the biggest examples of this party placating is what happened in Florida literally within an hour after the Supreme Court's decision on Voting Rights Act. Ron DeSantis had those documents written up. They were signed, and all he had to do was put the plan for redistricting Florida into action, because that's what the president wants, because the president has a club and home there. You look at what happened in Louisiana. I mean, they canceled an entire primary to make sure that this president was happy and they get what they want as far as who can vote and making it easy for people. It's
and
happening
now. Recall
across the board.
Papers have been filed against Landry down there.
Yes. So. Yes. It's a precarious situation. It's a precarious situation as far as the placation to the president of the United States.
Well, John, who left the comment on our YouTube stream, said something about the ballroom and the tax. Who's tax and spend now? Well, John, that was a perfect segue into the fact that the GOP is offering $1 billion for White House security, but they're saying it's not for the ballroom, it's for under the ballroom. So Senate Republicans late Monday, proposed $1 billion to pay for the new White House security measures, which nobody has said anything about. We don't know what those security measures are. He could just be a big wine cellar. We don't know, only because they haven't been released. We've heard about the ballroom. Everybody's wanted it forever. Nope. So they're still disagreeing. Even the Republicans are disagreeing over whether the money would cover the ballroom. Now, Chuck Grassley, who resembles the Crypt Keeper in both appearance and mental acuity.
By the way, he is 93, almost 93 years old. I just looked it up. He will be 93 years old in September.
If you live in Iowa, why?
Do
valid.
People keep electing him? Because
I don't know.
I don't understand.
That's what I'm saying. I would love to talk to Republicans in Iowa. There's nobody. There's no whippersnapper 75-year-old you could elect in Iowa to be your senator. There are no kids that want to come in.
By the way, he has also served as a U.S. senator in the state since January of 1981. I was 3 years old when he went into office. 2.5 years old he went into office. I'm going to be 48 in October. It just tells you, I don't want to digress too much, but he is in charge of this committee that is making this decision. And I don't I'm not ageist. I'm just saying 93 since 1981.
I'm not ageist either, but 93 is ridiculous. Being in power,
yes.
Being in that seat since 1981 is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Now, it's not his choice. Somebody's putting him there.
Right.
So Iowa people who vote for Chuck Grassley, you are ridiculous.
Yes.
There has to be. I've been in Iowa. It's pretty big. There's a lot of folks. There's a lot of corn and cows.
People.
But there's a lot of people. Yeah. I'm guessing there has to be another Republican that could replace him. What has he done for Iowa that it makes him so indispensable?
Well, he wants
Parker, we joked yesterday about a brain in a jar. Chuck Grassley will still be getting elected when his 110-year-old brain is sitting in fluid.
Oh, God.
This is why you need term limits. This is all I'm going to say.
Yes.
That when you're proposing $1 billion as the chair of a committee for security at underground security at a ballroom. This is why we need term limits.
He is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He laid out a funding package for security upgrades because he said he was afraid the Kaiser was going to come and get him. So that's why he laid out these things for the East Wing modernization project. And that's the name. That's the big name, you know, like Operation Sledgehammer or whatever there. But that's for the plan for the 90,000 square foot project to rebuild the East Wing that got demolished before things were ready to go. So they said the text of the legislation says the money is going to be used for both above ground and underground security features that the administration has said they really need. But they have not, again, they have not told us any of it. Now, they will say, well, how secure would it be if we told you what the plans were? I don't know, because we're paying for it. So give us an overview.
It's weird that taxpayers want some sort of reason why they're spending $1 billion.
A billion dollars.
I think what worries me the most about this is what lays in this bill, though, right? Because this is not just a bill for extra security measures, Brian. The legislation around this would actually include the Senate's budget reconciliation bill. That's the problem with this. And that could be enacted by just a very simple majority, which would bypass any potential filibuster, which is what they've wanted to do, knowing that they can't just take the nuclear option at this point.
Remind people that what's the big line item in that reconciliation budget that there's been a battle over?
ICE funding is what they really, really would like to get done. But the underlying language of this would also eliminate the need for, spending and generating all of this revenue. And it would basically make sure that the Republicans do not need the Democrats to vote this bill through. That is the legislation being proposed for $1 billion in security. What about Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP, hospitalization, education? What about all of those things?
I have four words to sum that up, Jamie. Let them eat cake.
Yes.
It is the rich get richer, the citizenry, whatever happens to you, happens to you. Good luck to you. I don't know who they think is going to do all their errands and serve them at their...
Well, no, they want to end birthright citizenship, so we don't
They want to end everything. They want everybody else.
No illegal immigration, no undocumented. They want to end...
No health care for other citizens, no help for kids. How are those kids going to grow up to be, you know... It doesn't make any...
Backbones of the society is what they want to eliminate.
Of course. But then what happens if you don't have a spine?
You fall over and you're weak.
Yes, you are nothing. You're just a blob. And that's pretty soon there. I think at some point there is going to have to be some sort of clash between the classes. And I don't mean some sort of Russian revolution, but it's at some point, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, you have to look at this and go, what about us? Why are we being completely left out and the rich get richer? Well, we'll figure it out. Hey, put that cigarette out and put out your campfire because things are dangerous here in Wisconsin. Hey, that's good news. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. It is 6:52. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're with us. Are you an outdoorsman? Do you burn your leaves? I don't even know if it's legal anymore. It's not where I am. But the irony of what's been happening in Wisconsin from a political level now to a nature level,
mm-hmm.
because the last few weeks we have had nothing but severe storms and flooding and rivers running over their banks. And people are like, oh, my gosh. And we talked yesterday about a storm, or we're going to talk later about storm damage and all of that. And yet... parts of the state have no water.
Yeah.
A high fire danger alert is out for much of Wisconsin, according to the DNR, who suspended burn permits for 43 counties. I thought we were underwater.
Well,
and now it's like,
portions
well, we were.
Of this, well, in fact, there's flood warnings again for several portions of the state currently. But if you go into the northern part of the state, there's been very little moisture. In fact, they haven't seen any of the rain in a good chunk of the state, especially in the Northwoods area that we have in the southeast corner of the state.
That's right. Well, now you are not going to be able to make your s'mores outside because high fire danger continues for much of Wisconsin. The DNR announced that it has suspended burn permits for 43 counties and asked people to avoid any outdoor burning.
Wow.
Very bad news for some groups of people. On Tuesday, southern Wisconsin and eastern parts of central Wisconsin were in high fire danger, which again, I guess this, if as I think back and look at the radar, the swath of severe weather cut right across the middle.
It did.
So it's like an ice cream sandwich.
Yep.
But it's a drought sandwich.
It is.
Drought is the bun, and the floods are the ice cream. Why did I spell that out for you? You understood me. Everybody understood the analogy. I felt the need. Thank you. Maybe that's why I felt the need to explain it. But halfway through, I went, well, I have to finish it, but this was dumb.
And you said ice cream sandwich, and I wasn't going to stop you.
Because suddenly I started thinking about an ice cream sandwich,
exactly.
And I was like, what are we talking about, rain?
Exactly.
Oh, okay, I want chocolate. Anyway, so yesterday, southern Wisconsin, as I said, were in high fire danger. Wildfires ignite easily, spread rapidly, and can be challenging to control, the DNR said. So as Jamie, you rightfully pointed out, most of northern and central Wisconsin is under very high fire danger, which means that wildfires will just go, just start. And I have lived through wildfires in California, and it is terrifying.
They are terrifying. And I mean, that's the thing, too. We love to be outdoors here in the state of Wisconsin. We love to camp. We love
Nothing
to do our fire pits. Oh, they're super fun until you realize what the ramifications could be. And, you know, we talk about wildfires and people like to put them in California mostly. We've had our fair share of fires in Wisconsin, especially in the forested areas.
Well, I would like to give a tip, if I can, to everybody yes. listening in those 42 counties in the northern part of the state and the southern part of the state. Go out and rake the woods. I hear that will stop forest fires. If you
That's
go out
told.
And just rake, if you just...
We're
if
told.
You just rake.
That's right. That's right. When we lived at our house near Baraboo, we were not in city limits. We were in a township.
Oh.
And so everybody burned. Everybody burned. And it was maddening for me because I do have allergies. So there were days that it literally looked like we had a forest fire because everybody around us was burning something. Now, there were two frames of thought that I never understood when we lived out there. Right. And if you want to burn, that's cool. If you're in a place where you can do it, you're not putting anything at danger, then that's cool. Two frames of thought that I never understood. One, the people who burn wet leaves. All that's going to do is smoke and smolder.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, why are you trying this?
It's Don't like trying to you, trying to burn wet wood. What are you,
right.
yeah, what
no.
are you up to?
We had all of those. So it was just smoke. Just not. It wasn't actually a fire. It was just smoke. It was stupid. And I was miserable and I would actually have to leave home for the day because I couldn't breathe. There's also the second set of people that I also never understood, because the last summer we were there, it was a very dry summer. We'd gone probably 3-4 weeks without rain. It was very hot. It was very windy. And then
would you call it a cruel, cruel summer?
It was a very cruel, cruel summer. But then there were also people outside burning then, too, as the winds are whipping at 40 miles per hour. I'm like, what are we doing? And being a weather family like we are, this drove my husband absolutely insane. Because he's like, do you not understand how dry it is? How one spark at this point could take down this entire neighborhood? Because it was so dry and windy at that point. So I don't understand people who, if you want to burn, that's cool. But there are certain times that you should probably, and precautions you should probably take to make sure that you're doing it correctly. And maybe not in one of the 43 counties with burn bans right now.
So I'm sure you know if you're in one of those counties, you know where you live and you know that there's no fire. So, yes, no big fires, no burning things, but even no fire pits your tiki torches, anything that could fall over. And smokers, this is a pet peeve of mine anyway, stop flicking your butts.
Right.
And I mean, Parker's cigarette butts, relax. He gives me that look every time. I make just fine statements, and he gets all nervous.
Can't say that, Brad.
I just did. I hate when I listen. If you want to smoke,
cool.
Good luck.
Do your thing.
Yeah, I do things that are probably not good for me.
Right.
But stop with the just dropping your cigarette butts and flicking them. And I know this is an age old problem since people have been smoking, but it is disgusting, and it is now. It's really dangerous.
Yeah.
You flick that cigarette butt out your car window, poof.
And by the way, in case anybody's wondering, spring is actually the most critical time for fires in Wisconsin, because even when we have a few days between precipitation, that can dry out the grasses, pine needles, and all of the leaves. And obviously that just makes the conditions even worse. So be careful, be smart, listen to the DNR, please.
Next, you'll hear the news, and then we will give you more you need to know on the other side. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. 6:59 right now, and you are listening to the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.